GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Israel, a Tel Aviv hospital reporting that one person has now died, dozens of others reported hurt, after a truck rammed into a bus stop near the city. This coming just a day after Israel strikes on a number of targets in Iran. ABC News foreign correspondent Tom Sophie Borage is on the scene of the attack.
It's an ongoing investigation. We've seen a major recovery operation ongoing this morning. Police are saying this is a suspected terror attack. They say that the suspected driver of the truck, they believe, is an Israeli Arab citizen. So that would be significant. That would mean, if true, he was an Israeli citizen.
With 9 days until Election Day, Vice President Harris Barnes storming the swing states, talking about unity in Philadelphia today.
I truly believe it's a lived experience to know the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us.
And while New York is expected to go blue on Election Day, nevertheless, former President Trump will rally today in New York City's Madison Square Garden. This is ABC News. The party atmosphere at Dodger Stadium silenced when one of the Dodgers' best players was injured in Game 2 of the World Series Saturday.
Everything was going right for the Dodgers in Game 2 of the World Series until superstar Shohei Ohtani tried to steal second base in the seventh inning. He slid in, he was called out, but more importantly, he was left holding his arm, clearly hurt.
The scene, very concerning, obviously.
Manager Dave Roberts said Ohtani suffered what looked like a left shoulder subluxation, a dislocation. He said it's too early to know about his status for Game 3 Monday, but
the strength and range of motion good, that's certainly a positive.
The Dodgers lead the Yankees 2-0. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Delta Airlines taking cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike to court over the massive computer outage this summer. Delta says the outage caused the airline to cancel 7,000 flights over a 5-day period during peak travel time over the summer. CrowdStrike firing back, saying in a statement, Delta's claims based on disproven information. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Medicare open enrollment is underway. It's also that time of year when you can enroll in Marketplace coverage or your employer-sponsored plan. Here's Mike Moen.
Advisors say reducing healthcare costs involves more than focusing on monthly premiums. You should also compare a plan's copays and deductibles. Adam Van Spankeren leads the team of navigators at Covering Wisconsin, which helps people understand and sign up for publicly available health insurance and similar programs. He says reading notifications this time of year is vital because a small, subtle difference could end up being a big shocker.
So you might be used to going to your doctor year after year and then find out that they're actually not covered by your plan anymore. And that's got to be the most kind of disheartening and surprising thing. People often discover that when they go to get care.
As for Medicare, original plans don't cover prescription drugs, so what's known as a Part D plan is needed for medications. Starting in 2025, these will include a $2,000 cap on what you pay out of pocket for prescription drugs covered by your plan. Health policy analysts say there can be trade-offs when deciding between a traditional Medicare coverage option and a Medicare Advantage plan. Advantage plans tend to cost more, but Dr. Rhonda Randall with UnitedHealthcare says they're worth considering.
Things like dental, vision, and hearing. Many Medicare beneficiaries might be surprised to know that original Medicare doesn't cover most of those things, but many Medicare Advantage plans do.
About 56% of Wisconsinites signed up for Medicare have Advantage plans. Program enrollment runs through December 7th. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies, breezy south winds up around 20, highs in the lower 60s. Tonight we'll see partly cloudy and breezy conditions with lows in the low to mid 40s. On Monday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, breezy, highs in the middle 60s. Right now it's 58.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap the events of the weekend. I'm sure nothing will have happened. And we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. You like the music?
I do. Okay. When I hear it on the radio, like when I'm just listening like a listener, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Jim Schmidt's show.
Well, now you're on the show, Doc. We'll be with you in just, I just want to remind people of Lean Local. We're a show here that talks about local issues, and there's so much going on in this country right now. But we are going to tie into some of those things. We have the presidential election. Obviously, we still have these wars going on and number of issues that are taking up the media time, especially television. And we want to talk more about what's going on locally. Even the candidates don't get the airtime that I think they deserve. So here on this show, we talk to the local candidates, and a lot of exciting races coming on. And we're going to be voting in just a few days on November 5th.
We can vote now.
Oh, you know what?
Early voting
that is
true.
Happening. Early voting is happening.
Yeah.
That is true.
Get out and vote, friends.
You can vote now. As a matter of fact, I saw in the paper the line of people who are voting. So the message is out there that you can do in-person early voting now.
Even here in Green Bay,
yes.
There was a big line.
Yep.
And a giant line in Madison I saw today.
All right. That's all right. So it's happening. What we want to do is talk about some of the races. And probably, I don't want to rate any races, but a very interesting race, is the 8th Congressional District race. And of course, that encompasses well over, 600,000 people. 750,000 people. And it's the 8th Congressional District. And it was a vacant seat, and we have two candidates running. And one of them is in studio, which took a while for me to get you here. But thank you for coming in. Dr. Kristen Lowry.
Thank you, and Jim. Here we are again.
We are. And you used to be on that Mine on the Mayor show, and then you announced your candidacy, and you know the rules. It's like, well,
you guys don't do politics.
No.
So. You try to keep it light. And, you know, I got to say, the people of Green Bay, because the whole world is watching us in this district right now, the people of Green Bay and the surrounding area, we're just tired of it. Aren't you? Like, I'm tired of the mailers. I'm tired of the TV commercials. I'm tired of all the finger pointing. We're really nice people here. And all of the ugliness is just, it's not what we do. And we're all looking forward to November 6th.
We are. Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about that. There's a lot of money being spent on these races.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story on just the local TV stations got a bump in revenue of $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
$8 million is a lot of money. And the mailing, every time I go home, you know, after work, not I work at the homeless shelter, but after I get home, there's, I don't know, 6 pieces of mail. I mean, you guys really like those oversized postcards. I don't know if you do. I don't know. I'm just saying there's just a lot of that that comes in. And plus, you know, I'm not a big TV guy, but I hear that all the time. It's constant.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if they've made that kind of buy on TV, it's taking up a lot of space. And even some of these radio stations are sold out over time. So a lot of advertising going on for a variety of candidates. And I don't know really so much with you and your opponent what I'm seeing there, but it's just so much money. I have this theory, and I just want to run it by you, and then we'll get into your issues. But even when I was mayor, we would run and raise, I don't know, $100,000, $150,000. And my thing was, we got to cap this. Let's cap it at $1 per person. Mm-hmm. So that means you could spend $750,000 because that's your people. And, of course, the state of Wisconsin's 5 million people, so the governor could spend $5 million. Well, that's crazy. That's it's not even close. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, people wanted to cap expenditures, and the Supreme Court weighed into that. My theory is for me to, you know, write a check for $500 to a candidate, I would like an adopted policy that 10% of all political donations go to charity. Is that something you think you could get behind? I'm not saying I'm going to change the world on that, but I'm thinking $8 million on TV spent, $800,000. Do you realize that we could do at the home shelter with that? I'm not saying it would all go to us. It would up to the candidate where you want to put your money, you know, children's museum, homeless shelter, whatever. But it's a lot of money to just write checks and then kind of get some junk mail out of it.
Yeah, lots of junk mail. But we are at the Paper Valley, so we do appreciate that.
I remember
being in high school, and they were like, we can use as much paper as we want. It's great for the economy. Wow. Yeah. No, but to your point, we need campaign finance reform. We tried it. We got Citizens United. And now not only do we have ridiculous amounts of spending in politics, but there's this whole other thing, this dark money, where sometimes I'll see a flyer for myself that is not mine. I didn't put that out there. And it's these giant super PACs. They can spend as much as they want. Right. And they say whatever they want.
That's got to be weird. And yeah. You're not the first person that told me that, to come home or to watch TV and see an ad that you knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. So if you get criticized or complimented, really it's not you.
Yeah. That's not my message. That's not what I would have said.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's just the whole point of running for office is to represent people, the people who elected you. And if these other groups are coming in and influencing the message and influencing the election, that's, in my opinion, that's not right.
Yeah.
And that's not what people want. When I talk with people at the doors here in the area, and we're knocking doors everywhere. We were in Wittenberg and Clintonville. We were in Wrightstown yesterday. And what we're hearing from people is they just want a representative who's going to represent them. Mm. They're just tired of what's happening. I know. Imagine that. They want an economy that works for them. That's the number one issue that I'm hearing from people.
You are. I'm going to get to the issues because the doors is important. I mean, it's kind of like a focus group, but individual, right?
Mm, yeah.
You're getting feedback and they don't get a chance to really talk to each other. You're just talking to them one-on-one, which is pretty nice for a congressperson to do that.
Yeah.
You know, even I thought it was tough, even, you know, representing 110,000 people was difficult. So, wow. And what are you hearing? Is there a common thread or is it all over the board?
There are some common themes. The economy is constant. I was talking with a woman in Wittenberg the other day who said, I just interrupted her. She was trying to figure out which bills she could pay and what she could put off.
Yeah.
And she's working doubles every night, not going out with her friends, at her wit's end. She needs a hand up. And she's so not alone.
Right. The economy. What is that hand up, though, Doc? Kristen, how do you like when you?
Jim, whatever you like. And, you know, can I just, I'm a little warm here. I'm just going to take off my jacket.
Okay, cool.
I wore this. I have this special vest from our time together. You got that?
Oh, man.
It looks really good under my turtleneck.
It does. Actually, it looks good. She's wearing a City of Green Bay logo vest that. I was totally into vests. Yes, you look awesome, Chris.
It was hanging on a hanger for a long time, and John made me take it.
Yes, he gives a lot of my stuff
away. So I brought it home, and I thought, this is going to come in handy, and today is that day.
And here it is. We'll get a nice photo before you leave. Well, thank you for wearing that. I love promoting the city like nothing else.
I know you do.
At the doors, the economy, but I would agree with you that I work at a homeless shelter, for God's sake. I just talked to this guy yesterday, mm-hmm. came in my office. You kind of make it ends meet, living at a house mm-hmm. in your district, not in the City of Green Bay. His house was acquired by a buying group. Mm-hmm. I think they bought 9 houses.
This is the thing.
They raised his rent from $950 to $1,300 to $1,900, and he's homeless.
Yeah.
Because he was living on the edge, paying off medical bills. I mean, he had just a very little wiggle room.
That's two issues right there. Boom, boom. Housing, and health medical, insurance, and
right,
medical.
Right. Yeah. He didn't have, and I didn't really lean into the why. He's at our shelter and we're going to help him out. Mm-hmm. And we can do that and we will do that. He'll be back out there. But when people complain about the economy and I don't have any money, what are some solutions you're hearing or some solutions that you'd like to bring to Congress?
Well, it really depends for them. Like at the door, that individual conversation, it really depends what their concern is. And I try to address their specific concern. You know, I mean, healthcare, you brought healthcare up. Getting sick is the number one reason why people go bankrupt in this country. In this country, the wealthiest country on earth, where we have the most expensive healthcare system on earth, yet bankruptcy and the worst outcomes amongst any peer nation, especially when it comes to moms and babies. How is that possible when we're paying so much for our healthcare, but it's failing us? I just talked to a fellow yesterday who just lost his access. He's disabled. He is such an important figure in his community. He serves his community in so many different ways. He just lost his Medicaid access because he made $90 too much. And now he can't afford any of his medicines. And he said, I'm just going to stop taking my medicines because clearly I'm not worthwhile and I should probably just not be here.
Wow.
Yeah. $90 too much.
Healthcare. Should we call it healthcare reform? Or I don't know what the exact word is for that, but that is not a partisan issue. Don't you think both sides are talking about healthcare? I don't know what the answers are for both, but I've had another candidate not that come on that was a Republican. You're running on the Democrat ticket, and they were like, we got to do something about healthcare. So I think that's good.
It is good. And, you know, frankly, I grew up a Republican. And I only became a Democrat in 2019. And it's, you know, I'm aligned with Democratic values. Like, that is true. But you're right. This is not a partisan issue, yet it is. So the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, absolutely critical for so many people, including me. I am on the exchange. I wouldn't have health insurance without it. But we've seen Republicans wanting to take away the ACA. That was a huge focus of Donald Trump's first term in the presidency. He very much wanted to take it away without any plan to replace it, which would leave thousands and thousands of people without any health insurance coverage at all. And, you know, in the debate with Kamala Harris, it was the same thing. He was asked that question and he was asked if he had a plan. And that was the famous concept of a plan. There is no plan to replace it. If you've got a plan to replace it that ensures that people have access to health care and that they can afford it and get there, then great. I'd like to see that plan. But if there's no plan and you just want to take it down, then that doesn't serve the American people.
But we have the exchange. We got Obama. Why is that lady? Why is my friend without insurance? I mean, what are you going to do to shore it up? I don't know what the answer is. I mean, if I did, you know, I'd be sitting in your chair.
Right. Well, we have built this patchwork quilt of complicated programs that are our healthcare system, and we're not going to be able to just wipe it clean and start from new. We're going to have to piece it together, and that's what I'm going to do, Jim, because a doctor in the house can make a difference.
We do. We got the doctor in the house, Dr. Kristen Lowry, who is running for the 8th Congressional District seat. Thank you for stick around. We're going to be right back. To the city of angels, to see my name headline the coast. They say I'm a walking dreamer, baby. If I stopped, it would make the show. Can't keep up with my rhythm, though. They keep trying, too quick for the lines they throw. I walk to the sound of my own drum.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The kick is up and wide left.
Why don't they customize the goalposts? Make them wider.
Gina Della from Pella, how'd you get into the booth?
And why just yellow? Add some green stripes.
Sure, Gina. Should they also remove the G at midfield and paint a Pella crest?
Okay, Wayne, you can't customize a football game to go the way you want, but Pella can customize your home the way you want.
Right now, get 0% interest for 60 months.
Visit PellaWI.com.
Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Certain restrictions apply.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. Very special guest in the studio in-house, Dr. Kristen Lowry, who is running for the 8th Congressional District here in Northeast Wisconsin. And we talked about doors, what you're hearing at the doors, healthcare, which is a major issue with you. Before we get to the other issues, just tell me, you're relatively new to the, you're new to the congressional race. Mm-hmm. And what do you think? I mean, how's...
Yes and no. So I ran for assembly back in 2020.
Yep.
Because I was a doctor and there was a pandemic and it seemed like a good time to have the voice of medicine out there combating some of the crazy information people were getting. I thought maybe I could save a few lives. I didn't think we could win because, you know, this my district was so terribly gerrymandered, like so much of the state was. But it was never about a seat. It was always about how can I make a difference. So after that was over, I got involved in the Fair Maps movement and got involved in some other political stuff happening here in the state. And now we've got our Fair Maps.
Boy, do we.
Yeah. So then we needed candidates. So then we started, me and a bunch of other folks started shoulder tapping people and saying, you're the right person, you're the right person. And the candidates we have running right now are really inspiring. They are there for the right reason. They're there for the people.
And Kyle and I getting people on the show, we just ran out of time. I mean, not that they're not important, but we even in our little district here, there's a lot of good candidates on both sides.
I think you need more like a C-SPAN kind of show, yeah. So you can like, you know.
24 hours.
20, yeah.
Believe me. And I wish we could have had more on. And some people did call and we just can't do that. And mm-hmm. But in the district that we serve, I mean, the highest star is Congress and that's you.
Yeah.
And that's why we were glad you're here. So when you were working locally here, yes, those Fair Maps and of course that went through. When you get to D.C., you're obviously going to lobby to get on some kind of health care committee.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Right.
The first pro-choice OBGYN doctor in Congress belongs in a health care situation. Would...
But you're not a one-issue candidate.
I mean,
what other things are you going to work on? Because Congress, let me back up and say, with Congress, it's not a smooth-running machine.
It is not known to, especially recently.
Right.
It's been the most dysfunctional Congress since the Civil War. We can fix it, though, Jim.
Okay, let's hear the solution.
Well, it's electing the right people and then making sure that those people are relationship builders who find common ground. And I can do that with anybody because there are all of these things that we have in common with each other, shared values. You know, in this district... We are, I don't know if you saw this article in the Press Gazette maybe a month or so ago. Our families run deep in this district. You know, you're from here. I'm from here. Six generations, my family's from here. Our people know each other. When you bump into somebody from a certain town, I bump into somebody from Kaukauna. It's like, when did you graduate from high school? And who's your dad? And, you know, like all of those connections really mean something to each other. So it's figuring out what's important to you. And how do we start there and then build out from there? And, you know, it requires compromise. You can't just say, well, I'm just not going to go there. You got to figure out what the wins are, what the losses are, and you have to be fair. You have to be fair and take care of each other.
Yeah. And sometimes neither gets exactly what they want, but it gets done.
Right.
When people say we have nothing in common, sometimes they think, well, aren't we both Americans? I mean, maybe you got to start that far out. I mean, that's pretty far out, but... There's so many things we have in common, a lot, and it gets down to one issue, and then, well, we have nothing in common. So I'm glad you look at it that way. I think you're right. To make the change in Congress is at changing people. You know what they say, even in the corporate world, you want to change the people, change the people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, think about like back in the day, you know, when I was a kid, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, famously on opposite right. sides of the aisle, they would argue and go at each other and then they'd go have a beer afterwards because that's where the humanity is.
So you believe that can happen. I mean, you really deep down believe that that can happen.
I do. I think that we started out with a pretty tough situation before COVID, and then COVID isolated us, and then there was all the fear and the disinformation and the misinformation, and that's really made it hard for us to have conversations. And conflict is hard for us. Anytime you enter into a conversation where you don't agree with someone, it's really hard for us to be curious and say, tell me more about that. I want to understand your perspective. As a physician who gets to sit in an exam room and hear people's problems every day at work, I'm still learning things about people. I'm still seeing things in different ways. As a 54-year-old woman, I'm still seeing things in different ways than I did. Every morning I learn something.
Well, so I think that's why they call it practicing medicine. Right?
But it's more than that. It's not just medicine. It's just being curious about the world and respecting each other.
Yeah, amen to that. But okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think people run like, I just hope it's real when you get there. You know what I mean? I don't want you to get hurt or anybody, not just talking about you personally.
Well, you know, my boyfriend's a cop, so.
Oh, you can bring him along.
He's got my back.
Okay. So healthcare.
He's here today. I got the escort.
I thought, gee, you know, you're not even in Congress yet. You still got police escort. That's pretty cool. Healthcare is obviously driving you. You're a doctor. You've been practicing medicine for what, 25 years, right? Close to that.
I started medical school in 2003.
Right. Mm-hmm. So besides healthcare, what else? For those who watch national, you would. Next on mind would probably be immigration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big issue. I want to talk about the economy, but you want to talk about immigration?
Well, immigration is something I hear at the doors. You know, people are concerned about immigration. They want to make sure that we don't have fentanyl flowing across the borders. They want to make sure the borders are secure. That's really important. And they want a safe pathway to citizenship, an efficient pathway to citizenship. We need that here. We need it in the meatpacking plants and in agriculture and in the restaurants. We need immigrants here because that is how you create a thriving economy. So right now what's happening is this long drawn out process where people are stuck in the system for years, literally years, and they're put in impossible situations. There's a way to fix this. There's a bill. There is a bill, and it's a bill that was created by some of the most conservative and some of the most liberal members of Congress. But it couldn't get across the line because of a lack of political courage. We need more political courage. People who will be independent thinkers, who will act on behalf of the people they represent, who are moderates, who are willing to come to the table and have a conversation.
Okay, that is like music to my ears. My son-in-law is an immigrant, right? Colombia.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was great when he got his citizenship, right?
How long did it take?
A while.
Yeah.
And what they need to have is, it is time consuming. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. And you'll vouch for this. You'll never go on welfare and all this other stuff, which we're fine with that. I'm a very bright kid. The United States is lucky to have them. And so is our family. It shouldn't be that difficult because we're winning.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. So there's a bill that you're going to support when you get there.
Yeah, there are so many. Let's talk about all of them.
I don't have that kind of time. I really, if that's a priority for you, that interests me. I know you're seen as a doctor, right? Uh-huh. Would you admit that? But
but it's not just about handing out pills and, you know, doing that. It's about all of the stuff that contributes to your health. Let's talk about that.
All right. We're gonna be right back. We're here with Dr. Kristen Lowry, candidate for the 8th Congressional District here in Northeast Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Israel, a Tel Aviv hospital reporting that one person has now died, dozens of others reported hurt,
after a truck rammed into a bus stop near the city. This coming just a day after Israel strikes on a number of targets in Iran. ABC News foreign correspondent Tom Sophie Borridge is on the scene of the attack.
It's an ongoing investigation. We've seen a major recovery operation ongoing this morning. Police are saying this is a suspected terror attack. They say that the suspected driver of the truck, they believe, is an Israeli Arab citizen. So that would be significant. That would mean, if true, he was an Israeli citizen.
With 9 days until Election Day, Vice President Harris barnstorming the swing states, talking about unity in Philadelphia today.
I truly believe it's a lived experience to know the vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us.
And while New York is expected to go blue on Election Day, nevertheless, former President Trump will rally today in New York City's Madison Square Garden. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin falls to Penn State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers losing at home to Penn State, 28-13. Wisconsin giving up a pick six. And backup Bo Prabula throwing a touchdown after Penn State quarterback Drew Aller left with a knee injury. Luke Fickell on Penn State's gadget plays on offense.
They did a pretty good job in the second half at being able to mix up on and cost us some issues. But we're still getting better. I mean, this is a team that's growing. We can't lose the confidence and the faith in the things that we do. And you know, skill set wise is a little bit different, but he proved that he can throw the football as well. And they make you play really honest, and they make you play incredibly disciplined. As the game wears on, sometimes those things wear at you. And that's where the execution in the second half, we weren't able to make the plays we needed to make. And in some ways, he did make those plays.
So the Badgers fall to 5-3 and are on the road against the Iowa Hawkeyes next week. NBA, the Bucks in New York tonight to take on the Brooklyn Nets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies, breezy south winds up around 20, highs in the lower 60s. Tonight we'll see partly cloudy and breezy conditions with lows in the low to mid 40s. On Monday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, breezy, highs in the middle 60s.
Right now it's 58.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass.
It's only...
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the Wyawega Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, the show where we talk about the political world often and how it's how it affects us locally. Everybody's talking about the national, and I get the Ukraine and the Gaza Strip, and I hope that all gets settled. But we also have issues here in Green Bay and Greater Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. And we have someone in the studio who's going to be fixing that, and that's Dr. Kristen Lowry. Let me just talk about it. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, there's so much there's so much work we can do together. And nobody understands that better than somebody who's been elected mayor of the city four times, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that has to be done on a local level, and we're going to have local elections coming up this spring. But getting the federal, the state, and the local folks to work together. We don't work in silos. We help each other out. And that's something that we're really focusing on in my campaign. I'm working with the state assembly and Senate folks because we have to. Like, we're one unified community.
We are. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the federal government, people may say, well, that's different than local government. But there are some things that we have to work together on. I mean, you're the candidate. What are you going to be working on that's going to affect us here in Green Bay?
Well, I'm going to turn it back on you because you're the former mayor. What were things that you saw when you were mayor here that you needed help from the federal government with?
Cha-ching. No, I'm just kidding.
It's always money, though, isn't it?
It really wasn't.
Yeah.
I think the Bay Beach clean water, the whole PCB cleanup, which went on forever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The Superfund site, right. The Fox River.
Right.
Yes. This Paper Valley girl knows.
Yeah. Well, sure.
My family was, they're so many people. My whole family worked at the mill.
But that was a true partnership. I mean, the county, the federal government, and obviously the local municipalities. And when it comes to the relocation of the coal piles in Green Bay, I think the federal government could play a role. I think you've got international transportation, which I think you could help with, but there's other things. Economic development that I think is hard to do alone. As a matter of fact, it's like almost impossible to do alone. You really need some federal help. I don't know what you're going to do when you get there regarding fentanyl and housing and homeless, but those are, I tell you, doctor, if there's two issues that people still call about, it's homelessness and fentanyl. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other issues. I'm not discounting anything else, but so let's just talk about that. Homelessness, federal government.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need programs to get people into homes. I mean, that's the case. And you know what you said earlier today about these companies coming in and buying up all these houses and then putting slumlords in their place and then raising the rent? That's not okay. I mean, it's just not okay. So hey, I hate to use the word regulations because everybody's afraid of that word, but there needs to be something in place to prevent people from doing that, forcing people out of their homes. And we need more affordable housing. We need to put efforts in working with local developers and local governments to encourage more affordable homes.
I don't think the want, the need is not there. I think people know that. I mean, you look at the economy of Northeast Wisconsin here in Green Bay, there is people that are making significantly less than the median income and they need housing. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs housing.
Oh, yeah.
So when you talk about affordable housing, how could the federal government, or what kind of things would you like the federal government to do if you're in Congress?
Well, we need to make sure that we've got programs in place for first-time home builders. In some places, or home buyers, in some places there are federal lands that could potentially be developed. It's going to be really community by community, but ensuring that people who need homes and can't quite get there have opportunities to do that.
That whole first-time home buyer, mm-hmm. I feel bad. I've got three kids. You have, what, three kids?
Four.
Four.
I got
kids.
You beat by one.
They're all going to want a home someday.
Yeah.
And they're expensive, very expensive. And when you and I bought homes, was expensive, but relatively speaking to our income, it was affordable, but now it's not, and I feel bad for them. The president, the vice president is campaigning on assistance, $25,000 per home.
This is a program that Ron DeSantis has implemented in Florida, and it has had mixed results. Some people feel like it's really making a change, and others feel like it's a drop in the bucket. I say the jury's out. I don't know what the answer is there. I don't know that that is the answer. But I do know that I have a son who lives in Milwaukee and is a public school teacher, and he's living paycheck to paycheck in a crappy apartment. And I know that, you know, when I bought my first home, gosh, it's been almost 30 years now. I used the inheritance I got when my mom died for the down payment. And that was the only way we could make it work. So it's just, it wasn't easy then. And it's certainly not easy now. And we've got to find ways to make it work.
Yeah. And you don't want a kid wishing for that.
Right.
I mean, I've been to seminars where they said, planning financial things, saying, look, give your kids the money now.
Yeah.
But I know, right?
Have you met my kids? Yeah, how many bags of Doritos can I buy with this?
with $50,000, yeah.
I'm kidding. Sorry, boys.
But I do think we got to figure something out. And I don't know, sometimes, you know, as much as you laughed when I said ching-ching, sometimes it is just the financial help to the developers or to the municipality.
Oh, yeah. And it's not, you can't just say, well, this is the big program. I mean, it really is, it goes back to relationships. It's what do you need in this particular municipality as you're developing this particular piece of land? Because it's all so unique and thoughtful. And that really speaks to the importance of electing leaders at all levels who are interested in building community, pulling people together, hearing what people have to say, responding to what the specific needs are of that region.
Amen to that, too.
Yeah.
Education, you're very well educated, right? You're a doctor. Not everyone gets that opportunity. The federal government plays a role, not a huge role, mm-hmm. in education. There's some people who would like to do away with the federal government in education at all. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with that? And can I just ask you, as a doctor and as a mother, have we lost a little ground with COVID?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, my third son was a freshman in high school during the massive COVID year. And yeah, he, even as a young man, really continues to struggle because of it. So yeah, I mean, parents, I hear you out there. I think that has absolutely happened. But the answer is not eliminating the Department of Education, which is what my opponent is for. We need the Department of Education. We need to support our public schools. We need to make sure that we are funding. A lot of what the federal government does is fund things. We need to make sure that we are funding programs, including special education. I mean, this is a promise that we've made to communities, and we've never fully funded it. And when I go down to Kaukauna and I talk to my childhood friend, Marnie, who is a special ed teacher down there, and I see the incredible work that she is doing with those kids, not just with her kids, but with the entire community that surrounds those kids. They do a triathlon every spring. If you've never been there, you've got to see the community come out and support all of these athletes and the people who are with them. It is so heartwarming. There are so many places that the Department of Education is not able to fulfill their promise to Americans. You know, I'm a first-generation college student, Jim. I was really incredibly lucky. Public schools my entire life, Victor Hayne Elementary in Kaukauna, all the way up through the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Wisconsin has a proud tradition of public schools, and we should be really proud of that as Wisconsinites. But that means on both the federal and the state level, we need to continue to fund our schools, and not just fund them, but invest in them. As parents, as we can, be involved, volunteer, help out, run for school board, make sure your voice is heard. The more voices we have building that community and supporting our kids, the stronger we're going to be.
That's a true
you like
statement.
That?
I like. Well, of course, I like that. I worry about education. I worry about fourth grade reading test scores, because sometimes you can project those out. How many college chairs do we need? Mm-hmm. You know, how many jobs do we need in this sector? And there are some people who say this is how many prison beds we're going to need because of that.
But it's not all about college. You know, every kid shouldn't go to college. You know, I have cousins who work on the road crew and who are plumbers and electricians and linesmen, and they do things. I have friends from high school who pick up our garbage, and we need them. And I'm so grateful to them. There is a place for everybody in society.
When I speak of college, and I teach at NWTC, that's college to me. And I think you've got to go to get some education after high school. I tell people that all the time. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's kind of something I've told people. And statistically, if you do go to school, you could make $1 million more than if you didn't. And $1 million is a lot of money. And you can get benefits and vacation that you would get if you just took right out of high school, took a job, or if you went to school for 2 years. And some of the programs, fixing medical equipment, just dental, there's just some things that pay pretty well.
Well, that's
after,
true, but
after 18, 20 months of school.
But is it all about money? I mean, you have to be able
to. Of course not.
You have to be able to live your life and support your family and grow your family the way that right. you want to grow your family, which is something we haven't talked about. But you really have to follow your heart and make sure that you can make a living for yourself. But there are lots of different pathways to do that.
There are.
So education is a great alternative. But, hey, maybe you're not a school person. Maybe you're a hands-on person. Maybe you're a landscaper. Maybe whatever.
But I don't want to. It's not all about money. But my point, and I want you to respond to it, is that mm-hmm. you need to go to school past high school for at least a couple of years. Would you agree with that? Because I look, this is no. your interview. You don't? Okay.
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I definitely, right. you know, as a physician and again, a first generation college student, I think education is wonderful, but I don't think school is for everybody. Okay. I think apprenticeships can be incredibly helpful. A lot
that's education after
here.
High school, though. That's education. I think I'm okay. We're going to
maybe
on.
We're blurring the lines.
We are. We're blurring the lines,
yeah.
But it's compromise.
But it's compromise.
Tell me about healthcare. You know, women,
it's hard to talk about, isn't it?
It's not, because you use a better word than I was searching for.
Reproductive health care?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had that written down, but it's on this.
Yeah. No, I know. This is a tender subject.
It is. Talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. I do all the time. Well, I mean, it's my job is talking about this. Yeah. And, you know, in this district, too, it's especially tender because we're such a Catholic district, and it's something that we were taught not to talk about. So as a professional who talks about this all the time with my patients and has done it for many years here in Green Bay, I know how to have these conversations. And I know that the women of this region, whether they're Catholic or Lutheran or whatever, they have the same kinds of problems as the people who I take care of now in Minnesota and have taken care of in Georgia and in other places, Arizona, when I worked there last summer. So it's just a matter of hearing what people have to say, helping them figure out what the problem is, and then what the next steps are. What are all of their options, and where do we go from here? And my favorite part is supporting them along that journey. That's where the care and healthcare comes from. Having a procedure, whether you're getting a new knee or being treated for a miscarriage or an abortion, these procedures are not like getting your oil changed in your car. All of these things change your life. If you've got a new knee, it takes time to rehab that, to figure out how you're going to get to the grocery store. And if you have to ride around that little scooter for a little while, if you need help driving, all of those things, that requires care. And that's one thing that our healthcare system is grossly lacking across the board, but especially when it comes to reproductive healthcare. Reproductive healthcare, for some reason in this country, is inherently political, unlike any other kind of healthcare. And politicians just need to get out of our doctor's offices. There's not enough room in the doctor's office for a doctor, a patient, and the federal government.
You said that before, but yeah, that's pretty strong.
It's true.
And it's true.
That's what people, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's not just my patients. It's their partners. It's older women, younger men, people across the board. This is one of the biggest issues that we hear about at the doors. It's the economy. It's immigration. And depending on who I'm talking with, if they feel comfortable talking about it, it's reproductive rights.
All right. Interesting. When we come back, just a few softball questions. I want to talk about term limits.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you I have an opinion, but you're the guest. And just a couple other things about, I want to get back to working together. I think that's just really important. I want to hear just a little bit more from you on that.
Great. Let's talk about everything and the Packers.
Well, of course, we have to talk about the Packers. All right. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt with our special guest, Dr. Kristen Lowry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jim Schmidt in house, Dr. Kristen Lowry, a candidate for the 8th Congressional District. That election is right around the corner. You can early vote right now. Obviously, November 5th is the final day you can vote, and we'll all know that evening.
You think so?
I do.
I don't think so.
I do. I do.
I'm expecting a late night.
I don't know. I think.
Are you coming to the party?
I go to a lot of parties. That is a fun night for me. Win or lose. I mean, God bless everybody who runs for office, right? I mean, I think
it's a lot.
I think everyone should be a waiter or waitress, and everyone should run for office because those are very humbling jobs.
Yes.
Positions. But you're having fun doing it, you said.
I'm having a blast. I'm really tired. And my refrigerator also broke. So I don't really have any food at my house right now. So the kids and I sat around the table eating Jersey Mike's last night, talking about how we haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not going to last forever, and it really is fun.
I want to say that about elections, and I've talked to so many people who are thinking of running or in the middle of it, and it's like, I wish I wouldn't have done this, or this is, no one told me it was going to be like this. Beauty of an election is date certain it's going to be over.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't go on and on and on.
And then, you know what happens the next day, November 6th? We survey the landscape and we say, okay, here's where we go from here.
Right.
Yeah. And I love that part because I'm a planner.
You are.
Oh, yeah. But I love thinking about the future. Where can we go? How can we solve some problems?
Well, that's your strategy. Sit down and look at the landscape. Mine was to go to the airport and get out of town. And I did.
Well, that begs Just for three, 4 days. So what do I do on election night? My campaign manager she says you have to sequester yourself in a room until some sort of announcement is made. And I think that I should be out talking to people and having fun because that's what I love doing.
Listen to your campaign manager.
I don't know, Jim. I don't know.
It's fun coming down the steps or the escalator. I'm just kidding.
You are sassy.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. Hey, a couple things I want to touch on. We talked a little bit about the environment and clean water. That's something that you've always been interested in.
It's huge. Well, I mean, I grew up, you know, on the Fox River right before it became a Superfund site. So we spent my entire life polluting it, and now we've cleaned it up.
So Superfunds, that's in your wheelhouse. You're all about making that a priority for other communities with the federal government
taking the lead. Not just the Dirty River, but the PFAS contaminated site up in the Marinette area in Peshtigo. That is the third most contaminated PFAS site in the country, right here in my district. And then you look at what's happening with some of the farm runoff. You know, we have to sustainably farm. Agriculture is the heart and soul of Wisconsin. And if we are going to continue to be productive and continue to have that at the core of our economy, we've got to do it well. We can't allow it to ruin our climate. So yeah, there are so many different, clean water means so many different things. Also, look at the Great Lakes, the largest freshwater body of water in the world. We've got to preserve that. And that means working together with all of the leaders all around the Great Lakes to make sure that we are making thoughtful decisions together.
It's amazing how many people touch the Great Lakes. I went to a conference one time, a Great Lakes conference, and it was like a banquet hall just full of mayors from, you know, Canada and all around the border.
Yeah.
And we sure rely on that. Hey, let's touch a little bit on infrastructure. I mean, there's obviously a large infrastructure bill that's underway. Anything you think we need to do? Airports? Where are you at with infrastructure?
Well, I think that, too, really depends on what the needs of the community are. So I know Tom Nelson down in Outagamie was able to use some of that money to really shore up what was happening with the Outagamie International Airport. Yeah. And it's just, it's beautiful. I have a soft spot in my heart for Austin Straubel. Every time I go in there, I just feel like, oh, I could live there.
However,
yeah,
that's Outagamie's tough competition.
That is
a great, great airport.
It is.
The customer service, the restaurant, the parking.
Mm-hmm.
The flights.
It's so good. And to be able to choose, because they're both so close and so convenient, like, we are really lucky.
Well, okay, America's a little crazy with airports, though. We have more airports than any other country in the world.
I believe that.
We do.
Yeah. We have more of everything than anybody else in the world.
We do have a lot.
We have a lot of stuff.
We do have a lot. All right. Public safety. We talked a little bit about fentanyl, and you think the addressing fentanyl is focus on the border, or do you talk a little bit more about public safety and its relationship to fentanyl?
Well, people are worried about fentanyl. That's the messaging that they are hearing. And as a doctor who takes care of people who are struggling with opioid addiction issues, that's personal for me. I see how it ruins people's lives, and not just individuals, but families and communities. So that's a priority for me. Yeah.
Let's shift gears to nonpartisan issues. Well, it is for me. Term limits. We have people on both sides of the aisle, doctor, who have been there for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have people in Congress, in the Senate. Now, obviously, it's limited as the president. Does anyone talk to you about that? Have you thought about it? Is term limits on your list?
Everything is a partisan issue these days.
I don't think that is.
I think it is. But I think when you talk to people, a lot of people, it's a very popular idea that we should have term limits. When I think about whether it's practical or not, I have a lot of questions, because lobbyists don't have term limits. And a lot of the lobbyists for these giant corporations that make billions and billions of dollars, they have way more lobbyists than there are even legislators. So I think about these vulnerable rookie legislators like me, marching all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to Washington, D.C. from the heart of Wisconsin, and these lobbyists are going to be like, shook, trying to teach me about an industry or a thing that I don't understand, because I don't know it all. So I'm going to need a lot of help talking to experts and educating myself. So I worry about the influence of lobbyists if we have term limits, and the experience that goes out the door if we force people out because of term limits. I know. We're going to keep talking about this, aren't we?
We are. 18 years. 18 years. That's very generous. It's 12 in the city. 18 years for you guys in the federal government.
That's your idea?
Oh, yeah. And it's a good one.
We can keep talking about it. All right.
Hey, I appreciate you coming in here. Good luck on the trail. I know you're working hard, and we appreciate what you're doing. And like I said, I think everyone should run, and you've got a lot of energy, great personality, and I wish you well and safety on the trail.
Thanks for having me, Jim, right, and thanks for everything that you've done for Green Bay and continue to do.
Thanks for joining us. This has been Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're here with Dr. Kristen Lowry, a candidate for the 8th Congressional District. I want to remind you again how important it is that we get out and vote. And it's early voting now, or we'll see you on Tuesday. Like this old traditional guys like me, I'm going to stand in line and vote. I love it. All right, thanks for joining us, Lean Local. We'll be back next Sunday.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we start our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour with Trinity Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Get on the road with us next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.